Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask, Lord, for your mighty hand upon this part of the service, Lord, that your word would go out forth, Lord, and it would not return void, as your promises are yes, and they are true, and they are amen. And Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit would speak through my lips, that Christ would be glorified and not man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones, and they look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to the brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. And all you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he who cannot keep himself alive, a posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Powerful, powerful psalm. We are at a crucial point in church history right now, folks. As the days grow darker, we're seeing more and more fall away from the faith. Recently, in the past week, 2 weeks, you have seen pastors, songwriters of very large churches, authors who have served the Lord 20 years, denouncing their Christianity, turning away from the faith, stepping away from their walk with Christ. And we know Scripture says that, Timothy says that people will turn from their faith and pursue fables. The church in general is preaching another gospel, a social gospel, and it is getting away from the truth, the true gospel, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the center of the gospel is the cross of Jesus Christ. And without the cross, without Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, our faith would be nothing. Paul said that. It would be nothing. We need to get our eyes back on the cross and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to get back to the foundations of our faith. I pray, Lord Jesus, that revival would come back to this country. You know, David wrote this psalm. And there's no record in history accounted for his history of this experience specifically that caused him to write this psalm. Perhaps it could have been a time when Saul was pursuing him. However, I believe that David was given insight by the Holy Spirit to prophesy of the cross of Jesus, the coming Messiah's death. Because this psalm is a vivid description of the crucifixion. The point is, this psalm was written around 1000 BC. Do you know why I believe that? Who invented crucifixion? It was the Persians. The Persians invented crucifixion around 300 to 400 BC. David is writing something about something he has no knowledge or firsthand experience of, except for that which the Holy Spirit ministers through him. The Persians developed it during Roman times, they used it and perfected it for the punishment of criminals. David was vividly describing something that he had never seen before. How is that possible? How is that possible? Why? Because David was a prophet. Acts chapter 2 specifically says that. Men and brethren, in verse 29, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. How awesome is the Holy Spirit to reveal that to him. The psalm is a foreshadow of how Jesus would die for you and I. Let's break it down. My God, verse 1, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, am I not silent? What is going on here? It's in the gospel accounts. It's in Matthew 25. Verses 45 through 46, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the first time ever, and the last time, the only time, where the Son would be separated from the Father. The Alpha and Omega, folks, who always was, would feel utter and complete separation from God the Father as Jesus took the sins of the world upon him as the sacrificial lamb. We cannot even comprehend what that separation felt like. I'm sure we can get a small glimpse when we lose a loved one, when we lose a dear friend, someone we're very close with. But we're talking about before even the foundations of the earth, he was, and he was with the Father. And yet God would turn away from the Son as darkness covered the land, and the darkness of sin was laid upon the Messiah's body. And as he's crying out about the separation in the pivot here in this psalm, it says in verse 3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted and you were not ashamed. In the midst of suffering and separation, Jesus would shift his focus to praise. He recalls on the attributes of the Father, that he is holy, that he is faithful. And because God is holy, he could not look upon his Son as our sins were cast upon him. Yet Jesus would not be forsaken or separated forever because of God's eternal redemptive plan. Because why? Because God is faithful. That's the point. That's the point. Our God is faithful. He led the fathers before them, you know, those out of bondage, out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, then through the wilderness, giving them the promised land. He is faithful, folks. We are not to doubt in him. And Jesus is not doubting God in verse 1 and 2, but he is crying out in agony. That separation, the magnitude of what he was feeling physically and spiritually, the weight had to be so intense. The sins of the entire world, past, present, and the future were laid upon him. The spirit realm, we only get small glimpses of feeling, but he has the utter sheer weight of all that is crushed upon him. And he's separated from the Father. However, in the midst of all of that, there's a pivot to recall on God's faithfulness and his holiness, which means he's true and he is just. And Jesus said, but I am a worm. The psalmist says, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by people. He was scorned. He was scorned by men. He was reproached. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was crushed. His flesh was ripped off his back. He was beaten. His beard was plucked. And his head had a crown of thorns pressed down into it. Read the account of the suffering Messiah in Isaiah 53. And he says, I'm a worm. You know, some of you know that story of what the worm, what is the worm? What does that translate to? In the Hebrew, it's tola, which is a maggot, a worm, crimson, scarlet. Henry Morris, in The Biblical Basis for Modern Science, wrote that this tola, this worm, that when the female of the scarlet worm species was ready to give birth for her young, she would attach her body to the trunk of a tree, fixing herself so firmly and permanently that she would never leave again. The eggs deposited beneath her body were thus protected until the larvae were hatched and able to enter into their own life cycle. And as the mother died, the crimson fluid stained her body and the surrounding wood. And from the dead bodies of such female scarlet worms, the commercial scarlet dyes of antiquity were extracted. A picture of the cross. His body crucified, attached to the tree, where his blood would be given once and for all. And to give you, through that blood, new life, folks. New life. I think the psalmist was very particular in his words that he used. How awesome is our God. All those who see me ridicule me in verse 7. They shoot out their lip and they shake their head, saying, he trusted the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. This is an account of exactly what happened. Matthew 27, verses 39 through 43. And those who passed by, as he's on the cross, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and then we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him, and now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. In the midst of mocking, he was dying for them. You can tell I'm impassioned about this sermon. It's the cornerstone of our faith, folks. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. He recalls all along, this was your plan. Before the foundation of the earth, I was chosen to be the sacrificial lamb. And I was chosen to be born as a man. In John 1:14, and the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, that through him the world might be saved. That is the gospel. That is the purpose of the cross. And our God didn't think it robbery, Philippians 2:6-8, who being in the form of God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Satan did. That's why he led the rebellion in the garden and out of heaven. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. And as the psalmist writes, be not far from me. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. Our Lord was so lonely. Do you remember in the garden, as he was praying and droplets of blood were coming down his forehead? All he wanted was his disciples to be there and to be praying with them, and they couldn't keep their eyes open. How lonely those hours had to have been. On the cross, you know, even prior to that, Scripture says that his closest friends, his disciples, they fled from him. When Judas came with the temple guard to take him captive, they fled. Matthew 26:55-56. In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But the hour has come. He said all along, the time is coming, the Son of Man must be lifted up and die. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And at the cross, there was none to help. His mother was there, Mary Magdalene, the beloved John, others, but none to help. They couldn't do anything. How lonely to take all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our errors, all of our sin upon him. Many bulls have surrounded me, verse 12. Strong bulls of Bashan encircled me. There's a lot of different thoughts on this part of the passage. Bashan was actually a plain. It was a large, fertile plain used for pasture in the northern part of the territory of Israel, and it was famous for rich pasture used for reading cattle. Some think that's a reference to King Og, was a fierce opponent of Israel. And King Og, when they arrived to take the land from the local inhabitants, Og was defeated, and that Bashan was given to half the tribe of Manasseh. The bulls of Bashan, I mean, could just be just the fierce enemies of Christ. I'll make a reference to this a little bit later on here. An oppressor. But I think it's more of the imagery that's being described here, because in verse 13 he says, they gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. The imagery is so powerful of what our Lord had to be experiencing on the cross. Those mocking him. Tell him, throw yourself down. And he describes them as strong bulls, like raging and roaring lions, and later on in this passage as dogs. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. I think of The Passion of Christ, that movie. And I remember after he was beaten and scourged, and I remember as they're getting ready to put him on the cross before they start to nail, they nail the one arm in, and the other arm can't stretch out far enough. And I remember them with the rope, and he just pulls it out of joint to get it all the way across. He was on the cross. He had to be so dehydrated. The sun beating down upon him. His heart had to be in overdrive, trying to pump blood and oxygen through his body. It even says when the soldier stabbed Christ with the spear in his side, the water and blood poured out his side. That's referenced in John 19:34. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. The agonizing pain of being stretched, and every time trying to lift yourself up while you have nails in your hands, in your feet, attached to wood, trying to get breath. And he was praying for you and I and those who were ridiculing him. The imagery is so powerful. Your soul, your heart needs to understand what our Lord went through. We need to recall on that, especially when we're so selfish during the days. My strength, verse 15, is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clips to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Potsherd is it's broken pottery. It's shards. The word comes from keras in the Hebrew. It's earthware, earthen vessels. It's broken pottery, just discarded. I'm sure it's cracked from the sun, blistering it. No longer of any use. The potter getting broken for you and I. He's on the cross. The sun is beating down him. He's dehydrating. I can only imagine, but I've experienced like, where your the tongue clinging to the jaws. I remember playing football in the summers, going through triple sessions, and I remember the early games in the season when it was very hot, and I remember becoming so dehydrated. It's like the cotton mouth times 1,000, where there's no saliva. Everything is just my mouth guard would get stuck inside my mouth. And nothing could quench it. Even the water, it wouldn't change that. I can't imagine. And I was in good condition. He was beaten before this. He carried a cross up Golgotha. To even utter words when your mouth is like that condition, it's almost impossible. I have cotton mouth right now. He even said on the cross, I thirst. Verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. They reference some as dogs, as the Roman soldiers of the Gentiles sitting around with the chief priests. I know some reference the bulls and all those around me as the demonic hosts. That not only was Christ seeing physically those in front of him, but he also saw spiritually the demonic host around him mocking him, thinking they had won. We got him now. We got him right where we want him. More importantly, David wrote here, they pierced my hands and my feet. That is not by chance, folks. How would he know? If only the Holy Spirit would illuminate it to him. It's amazing. Again, this was written 1000 BC. 600, 700 years before crucifixion was even made, and 1,000 and roughly 33 years before Christ would actually have his hands and feet pierced and put on a cross. Verse 17, I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. You know, stretched out and hydrated, his head is slouching. And I think, you know, remember, he's naked. He's naked, or maybe a loincloth only around him. He was stripped of his garments. He's stretched out, and I'm sure he can see his rib cage and everything else, his bones, just under his skin, as people look upon, sneering at him, laughing at him. What a moment. What a moment. Jeering at him. He was dying for those soldiers, gambling for the garments. He was dying for the world, for you and I, knowing that many would reject his sacrifice and gift of salvation. Verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Matthew 27:35, then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled was spoken by the prophet. There it is again, David, the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, verse 19, do not be far from me. It's coming to an end. It's coming to a climax. My strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog, the enemies around him. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. The last set here, the last set of scripture here, as the part of the psalm is describing the cross, is a call out to God for deliverance, and we also see God answering. You have answered me. Why? Because it is finished. John 19, 28 through 30, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth as he had the cotton breath, as he had the cotton mouth, that he could barely probably get the words out. So when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. What is those words, folks? Tetelestai, paid in full, all your debt. And he gave up his spirit. Another account in Luke 23, verse 46, and when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last breath, and the Lord God answered. The awesome part is we see the cross. We see the crucifixion of Christ through verse 21. Then he says, you have answered me. The separation from God the Father that started in verse 1, it is over, folks. Because in verse 22, there's a forecast of the resurrection. Christ has resurrected. And he says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I shall praise to you. In Matthew 28, verse 10, as he is already resurrected, he says to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. He's not using an empty title there, folks. He's not using a description of just casual brethren. He's talking about my brothers, my sisters. You have an access now to the family of God through Christ Jesus, who was resurrected. He conquered the grave. Hallelujah. Even the ones who forsook him, his closest disciples, he's calling my beloved, my brethren, the ones who still doubted. I need to see the hands and feet that were pierced. You still have access. Hallelujah. He's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about empowering grace for you to do and what you do and be what you cannot do and be on your own. That is to take on Jesus' righteousness, because our righteousness is nothing. It's filthy rags. This is the Lord speaking of a whosoever. Are you a whosoever? I'm a whosoever. For those who would fully yield their heart to him. You who fear the Lord, praise him in verse 23. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. See, God did not abandon his son to the grave. No, he heard his cry. And Christ was raised from the dead, conquering death, the final enemy. For my praise shall be of you in the great assembly, verse 25. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship you before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's and he rules over the nations. Verse 27 and 28 is referencing the kingdom rule. We can also see the Great Commission be involved there, where the Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations. Worldwide evangelism taking place. That every knee and every will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Verses 28 through 31, the New Living, as we close here, I'm going to read it in the New Living. For royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship, bow before him, all who are mortal, of all whose lives end as dust. Our children also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done. This is a reference to all those who came after the promise was fulfilled. The future generations. That is us, folks. The future generations. We would be told of the wonders of the Lord, and then we would say, yes, I want that. I want that gift. I want that free gift. I want to take that gift. Thank you so much. And we proclaim it to our children. It's you and I, beloved. How awesome and how great is our Lord. He gave all that he had on the cross for you and I so that we can live and reign with him forevermore. We need to remember the cross daily so that we keep our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We must hold fast to his promise and declare his faithfulness to all who will listen as the end of the age draws near, because Jesus is coming soon, folks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. All honor and glory and majesty to you, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this earth. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for the power of your word to scrape away the callous of our heart, that we would just keep our mind stayed upon you, that we would remember the cross and the ultimate sacrifice that your son Jesus gave. Be with us as we go our separate ways. Let our light shine. Give us opportunity to share the good news to others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.